This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
And our next guest is Julia Philpott from JP Leadership Coaching. As always, Julia, before we look at what you're currently doing, can you just tell us a bit about your career history? What's brought you to this point?
So I started working life as a graduate at Ford Motor Company and spent 8 years there doing various roles in sales and marketing, ended up in a training function, which was providing management training for Ford staff and also for the dealer network. And while I was at Ford, I saw Richard Branson give a speech on, and it was to do with customer service and the link between customer service and looking after your staff. And I thought, oh, I really want to work for that man. I really want to work for Virgin. And about 6 months later, there was a role, management development manager at Virgin Atlantic. And I was fortunate enough to get that. So moved from Ford to Virgin, which was great. Very different cultures, really interesting.
What was the difference in cultures? If you get to
Ford's the motor industry, so it was quite a male-dominated environment, quite structured, I'd say kind of macho, actually.
Yeah, hard to break through that glass ceiling.
Yeah. And Virgin was much more inclusive, you know, it was very accepting of different types of people and fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun. We ran courses and had people running from one side of the room together to the other, and you know, you could do that kind of thing, all in the spirit of learning, of course. Yeah. But yeah,
when learning is fun, you learn better anyway. So after Virgin, what happened after that?
So from Virgin, I was head of HR for Tiger Beer. So back into the sort of
your
male dominated role.
Free samples,
yeah. You know, cheap cars to free flights to free beer. Yeah, so we've done quite well. And yeah, that was a different environment again. Also really, really interesting, but again, quite male dominated. And then along the way, I had a couple of children and wanted a bit more flexibility in my life and work life balance. So I decided to become self-employed and qualified as an executive coach, got a master's in executive coaching and built my business. That was 12 years ago. So I've been coaching pretty much one-to-one or group coaching ever since. And I still do talks and seminars and run workshops as well.
So what are some of the services that you provide, Julia?
So my current specialism or my particular interest is working with women. So I work with directors, CEOs, aspiring directors and CEOs to help them to be better leaders, basically. But what I am particularly interested in is addressing the balance at the top. There aren't enough women leaders out there, so I'm especially keen to work with women, and I still have links within the automotive industry, so I'm doing some work for an organization called the Automotive 30% Club, who are dedicated to addressing the gender balance in the motor industry.
So where does the 30% come in? Is that what it is at the moment?
So no, that's the target.
Okay, so where do they stand at the moment then?
Of all the organisations that have signed up to the Automotive 30% Club by 2030. So we're still 11 years away, and they think it's going to take 11 years to get to 30%. And part of the reason for that is because we don't have as many women joining the motor industry. So in the finance industry, for example, it's pretty much 50-50, male-female. Yeah. At joining level, and then it drops off as you get higher up, and it becomes I think it is now 30%, because the original 30% club was based in around the finance, about around the city, and their target was to get 30% representation by 2020, and I believe that they are there now. So you still get a drop off, there's still not enough, or in my view, enough women making it up to the top. But in the automotive industry, you don't actually have the women joining, and then they drop off as well.
Do you think the reason for that is what you mentioned before about them feeling it's a male-dominated environment?
What was that, early 90s? We'd only just stop having calendars with topless women draped across the front of a bonnet, you know. So there is still, you know, within living memory that that kind of connotation. So what, you know, part of what we're trying to do is to change that. So the Automotive 30% Club go out to, into schools and talk to teenagers and raise awareness that, you know, being a mechanic isn't just a man's job. And there are other jobs, you know, if you go to your dealership or your manufacturer that are office jobs, you know, and, yeah, and try and encourage that understanding that it's not just a man's world.
Sure.
And then the sort of role that I play for them is that once the women are in the organisation, how do we pull those women through to leadership? How do we ensure that they have an experience that means that they want to stay within the industry.
So when you're coaching the women to become future CEOs and that kind of thing, what is it that you're finding is a barrier for them? Is it a confidence thing? Is it a self-belief thing? Or is it something deeper than that?
I think, well, I sort of break it into three different areas. So there is still issues with direct discrimination. So not within the motor industry, but I did have a client who was sharing with me that she'd spoken to her boss to understand why her salary wasn't on a par with her colleague's salary. And she was told, oh, well, he's been here longer than you and he's a man.
Ouch. Yeah.
So that does still happen, even though it's illegal. Yeah. And, you know, as part of the coaching, we still have to manage those conversations constructively, even though the law is totally on her side. If she goes, you know, storming in there and saying this isn't right, that's not helpful for her continued working relationship.
Right.
So there's still an element of saying to women, we need to be, the phrase that I use is pleasantly assertive around these conversations. So there's that area. There's also the, I suppose it's unintentional discrimination, and it's also known as benevolent sexism. So again, I was speaking to a woman at a conference who was furious because she hadn't been told about a promotion opportunity because it involved travel, and the assumption had been made that because she had young children, she wouldn't want to go for it, and because she wouldn't want the travel, and she was like, well, that's not a decision for other people to make. You know, I should be being told about those opportunities. So there's that sort of, it's kindly meant, but it's not helpful. So those are issues that are sort of structural issues that the organisation needs to sort out.
Yeah.
And then there are the individual barriers. I've worked with some incredibly confident women, you know, on the surface.
And
there are still, I think, internal barriers. So you probably have heard of the imposter syndrome. I'm currently doing some work with a lady called Dr. Terry Simpkin, who is one of the leading authorities on the imposter syndrome in this country. And, you know, we're working on a sort of questionnaire to help women to understand what that means for them. And there are some very subtle things that happen in workplaces which have actually quite a huge impact on women's progression through the organisation. I mean, there's lots of research that I could share with you. Maybe we can, you know, pick a couple of examples.
Definitely. Okay, so we're just going to have a quick ad break, and we'll be back to talk to Julia Philpott from JP Leadership Coaching, so stay tuned.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.
If you're looking for an evening of the smooth rhythms of soul and Motown, or perhaps the vibrant moves of Dirty Dancing and Grease, then you'll want to head over to the Holiday Inn Shepperton, your number one venue for tribute acts. And if you're planning your wedding, our beautiful event suites and attractive lakeside grounds are the perfect backdrop for wedding photographs that capture everlasting memories. And be assured that from your first visit, our dedicated wedding coordinator will be on hand to assist you every step of the way. Call 01932 899 33. The Holiday Inn, Shepperton. The perfect venue, whatever the occasion.
When you're looking to send important documents and packages, don't settle for second best. Choose Mailboxes etc. in Church Street, Weybridge. We offer you high street access to fast, reliable and internet trackable delivery services from world-class couriers, including UPS, FedEx, Parcelforce and DHL. We also offer a range of Royal Mail services and can pack your shipment so that it arrives safely. Around the corner, around the country or around the world, big or small, Mailboxes etc. in Weybridge can collect, pack and ship it all.
Picture this, a Sunday lunchtime carvery where you can eat as much as you want with a choice of one, two or three courses. You're free to help yourself to succulent pork, beef, chicken or gammon. And if you wish, you can have them all. Add in a homely, family-orientated environment with free parking and you have your perfect destination for the perfect Sunday lunch. It's all here at the Best Western Ship Hotel by Monument Green, High Street, Weybridge. Book now on 0800 393 130. We're one of the most welcoming places to eat in Weybridge.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Varna O'Brien, and we're talking to Julia Philpott from JP Leadership Coaching. Julia, before the ad break, we were talking about some sort of research that's going on in relation to this and looking at the imposter syndrome, that kind of thing. Do you think there's fundamentally a difference psychologically between men and women when it comes to this kind of thing?
Oh, that's really interesting. Along the way, I have also completed a degree in psychology with the Open University. And it was really only when I was delving into some of the research and the projects that I chose to do that a lot of the things that I'd experienced in the workplace kind of fell into place.
Yeah.
It's not some, well, I don't think we're born differently. It's the way we're socialized, and there's very definitely a difference in the way we are socialized as girls and boys. And we learn these values and beliefs. We swallow them whole when we're little. And, you know, our generation of girls were told to be pretty and kind and, you know, look after the house. And, so there's an underlying sort of value there that if I'm not doing that, then I'm not doing well, or there's a conflict.
Kind of it drips into the unconscious, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then when you have children, you know, there's all that guilt around, if I'm not with my children, I'm not being a good mother. And it can form a barrier, even if women are not consciously aware of it, because society makes them aware of it. You know, if you're the mum who never picks the child up from the school gates, you know, that you when you do go and do it, there are those looks. Oh, you know, who's she? Oh, she's the one, you know. And so those are the things that I'm often talking to women about. You know, how are they going to manage those issues? How do they feel about it? What's the conflict between them wanting to have this career and what society expects of them? One of the most interesting books that I've read was Drop the Ball by Tiffany DeFue, and she talks about making your partner a real partner, because, and I very strongly believe this, we won't have equality in the workplace until we have equality in the home. And one of the pieces of research that she quotes is that 30% of men admit to doing a bad job when they're asked to do chores around the house, so that they won't get asked to do it again.
Oh my God, I can't believe that. I thought it was just the children that did that when they were growing up with the washing up, so we wouldn't ask them again. But, oh, really?
And wow. I think, and because we have this psychological sort of need to be the homemaker,
we just step in and take over.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh. So So, yeah, so I have some really interesting conversations and you know, sessions with clients around them saying, I can't manage it all. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do the job. I've been offered a promotion. I don't know if I can cope with it. And I say, well, who else could help you with that? Oh, well, my husband's got a really busy job. He couldn't do it. Oh, but you've got a really busy job. So, you know,
yeah,
you do the maths, really. I mean, my husband's CEO of the company he works for. He does just as many school runs as I do. He does as many loads of washing, you know, but it hasn't always been like that.
Sure.
You know, that's been a negotiated process that yeah. we've worked out, because we both have jobs and careers that we enjoy. And actually, apart from anything else, I want us to be good role models
exactly,
for our
yeah,
children.
If you do what you love, and obviously that, the children will see that, won't yeah. they, which yeah. makes a big difference. Yeah. So obviously, as you say, the area of work you like doing is working with women, because it makes you feel good when you can see that you've made a difference
yeah.
in their confidence and they're going to achieve and all those sort of things. Do you prefer working with them one-to-one or group works, or what sort of environment do you prefer to do that in?
Oh, I love it all, actually. I run coaching groups for women of groups of up to six women, and I love that, because one of the very special things about women is that we do tend to be very collaborative and we share. So, you know, you get six women in a room, and they can be from I run it for female entrepreneurs who run their own businesses, so they can be from completely different types of industry.
Sure.
And they come together and they find they've got lots of common ground because they have common experiences around things. And I also run it in businesses. So I'm just about to start a couple of programs with back in the car dealer network. And I've used the same methodology with mixed gender groups and with female groups, and the all female groups, just the learning
just get it
is
harder,
just
yeah.
yeah, because they share, they're willing to kind of open up a little bit more, and the more you open up, the more you learn, the more you know, the more you access what your beliefs and values are, and that's really what drives our development.
So with the women that are entrepreneurs, what is it that you're trying to get them to progress in? What area is it? Sort of having more confidence to grow the business, or is it to come to terms with the fact that they can't be all things to all people, or what is it you're...
It's whatever they bring, actually. That's okay. what
you work on, yeah.
That's what coaching is, really.
Yeah.
It's the you work on the client's agenda.
Yeah.
So they will come and they'll say, well, I remember the first group I ran, one of the delegates said, oh, I've got a problem with cash flow. I need to sort out my cash flow. And by the end of the session, that was really not the thing that she needed to sort out. It was something completely yeah. different. But, you know,
it's just about asking the right questions, because yeah. as we know, they've got all the answers.
Yes.
It's just asking the right questions,
yes.
isn't it? People often confuse counselling with coaching. Can you just explain the subtle difference with that?
Well, as a coach, I assume that the client has the solution to their own issues. They have the resources to sort it out. My role as a coach is to connect them with those resources. They just can't see the link. That's
yeah.
my role, like you say, is to ask the questions, be curious about what's going on for them, what might be the barriers that are getting in the way. But fundamentally, they are resourceful and they can sort it out. My own understanding of counselling is that there's more hand-holding that needs to happen there. You've got somebody who actually needs a bit of assistance to
sure.
get back to feeling normal.
Yeah. And in the field of self-development, who were some of the people that you looked up to along the way that brought you to where you are now? What did you aspire to be?
Ooh,
like? There's so well, many I know, but
I know.
What stands out for you?
So I really love Nancy Klein. If you get
Hay
the
House
chance
Radio.
To writ to...
Is she on Hay House Radio as well?
Oh, I don't...
She might be one of the presenters on that. Is she American?
Oh, she might be, yes. She might,
yeah,
yes.
I might have heard on that.
She's written a wonderful book called Time to Think, which is, and she talks about the power of listening, and listening is just fundamental to coaching. Actually, I think it's fundamental to life,
it
and
is.
We don't do it very
well.
We've
got two ears and one mouth, that's
Absolutely.
What they say, isn't it?
So, I love Lance Klein stuff, and also an American author called David Rock, who's done a lot of He's written a lot around coaching and learning from neuroscience. And what actually happens in the brain while we're being coached, and
the neural pathways, different ones that are connected, or formed.
Yeah.
Last question, because obviously we're coming to the end of the interview, which is really sad, but unfortunately it's true. If you could talk to a younger you, Julia, let's say 20 or 30 years ago, what would you say to her?
I would say, be true to yourself. Listen to your own feelings and emotions and drives, and don't be swayed and driven and influenced by others. And I think that's also a kind of it's a gender thing, really.
There's a palliative care nurse in Australia, Bronnie Ware, her name is, who wrote a book about people's dying regrets, and the number one dying regret that people had was living a life that someone else wanted for them, not what they wanted for themselves. So that's quite a powerful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Julia. Is there any advice you can give the listeners who might be thinking of coaching and thinking, should I do it, should I not do it? What would you say to them?
Yeah, do it.
Do it. Well, that's pretty...
You will always move forward with something. Even if you think your life is brilliant and there's nothing getting in the way of you achieving your goals, coaching can always help you to identify something that you could tweak or that would make it even better.
And your email address, if people want to contact you by email?
Is julia@jpleadershipcoaching.co.uk.
And your website address?
www.jpleadershipcoaching.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So that was Julia Philpott from JP Leadership Coaching.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.